So this is the Ohio Writers Guild, and this is our mastermind, and we're meeting up today, and we're talking about the six steps to go from zero to published. And so we talked about how to choose your publishing company last month, or your publishing option, how you want to publish your book. And today we're going to talk about editing that first draft, mm-hmm. and actually how to get the first draft on paper, and then how important it is to start the editing process. And at the end of everything that we're doing in the Ohio Writers Guild, our grand finale is we're ending up at a writer's workshop in August with Sandy. And so I'm going to let Sandy tell us all about the writer's workshop. It's kind of our tribe trip. If you go to my website, kathybenner.com, you'll see it posted there and the link to the website. So you can go right to the website and check it out. But Sandy, tell us about the writer's workshop.
This is my fifth year with this. I own and operate it and worry about it. And what I do is, a lot of times when you go to workshops, you'll have a variety of options to choose from each hour or so. What I do is select a type of featured guests who are able to work with each other and willing to stay in the same room with everybody for the whole weekend. And my two featured guests this year is Jane Friedman. And when one of the bugaboos about writing comes to the point where you have to get your name out there, you have to tackle the social media, you have to get that author platform and logos and on brands and all, thank you, and all that. And Jane is the queen and knows how to express it and knows how to talk about how to fix your website, your author website, and start one. And should you go traditional publishing? Should you go independent publishing? Should you do something totally different? What else do I have her doing? What are the trends in marketing? As I am learning, if you could put phone text, you know how you text message people? If you put that in your story, it modernizes it, and the readers now are looking for things like that. If your character can do a podcast, or so those little things on what's going on in the trends in writing today, she's going to talk about. With her is a friend of mine. They're both friends of mine, but another one is Jason Sanford, and he is a master of short story. And there's something called Patreon, in which you can have subscribers pay you as much as they want a month, and then you give them something, a short story, part of a chapter, a poem, something in what you do, and that is what they're paying for, like a magazine article, a magazine every month. Instead, it's your short story. And Jason knows how that works. His work has been a finalist for all the mostly science fiction. Science fiction is his thing, but he grew up in southern United States, and he started with classic southern literature like Flannery O'Connor and some of the other ones out there from that. So he knows the gamut, and he's going to have a 90-minute session on writing tips and things you may not have thought of, or how to elevate the writing you're doing now to a level that's going to catch the eye of a reader, an editor, an agent, that sort. And he'll come in with Jane when they're talking, you know, what's trending. He'll come in and talk about that too. So it's an interesting, compact, intense sort of weekend, because you start on Friday evening and you go until Sunday noon, and they are there. We eat lunch in the Mills Park Hotel banquet room where we have our workshop. And so a lot of writers, they don't think of the questions until later, or they're too shy to raise their hand and talk about it. Mm-hmm. But maybe you'll sit next to them in the lobby, or maybe you'll sit next to them at lunch, or maybe you'll think about it. Wow, I got to ask them this. So it's a community as well. You meet other writers such as this, you know, you talk about editing, and in this writing mastermind, there's always community. We write in isolation. And so this particular weekend, it's a celebration of that, because on Saturday night, we have open mic reading, and the participants are allowed to share 5 minutes of their writing to the group. So it's like you go for a little cafe, there's going to be an open bar, and we'll have snacks and things. And if you're too shy to do that, can't get you out of doing it, I have two actors, young actors, who come in and are wonderful to read your piece of the story out loud. In a sense, even if you weren't shy, I'd have them do it anyway, just because to hear somebody else give your story is pretty good. So it's all about you, the writer, and your opportunity to soak in new information, either to learn something brand new or to polish something you already know. And again, the chance to meet two outstanding experts in writing, marketing, and publishing is just usually Jane will give a keynote, or she will give one workshop and that's it. Nope, I've got her for the whole weekend. So it should be good. Look up, if you do the intothespringsworkshop.com, you'll find us there. So thank you, Kathy, always, for allowing me to pitch my session.
Oh, I do have a question.
Yes, go ahead, Debbie.
Question. So if I understand it correctly, it's hour-long sessions that start Friday night and go through Saturday.
Sunday.
And it's in the hotel, so you don't have to go anywhere once you get there.
Nope. And I'm a girl from the suburbs, and our motto is free and easy parking. And Yellow Springs is like a German village, but very compact. Or short north, that's the Columbus area, but it's intense. 5,000 to 6,000 people come through there in the summer in a weekend. But the hotel has its own parking, and you get your first dibs there, and you come into the hotel, and it's owned by two gentlemen who were once high school band directors. I was a teacher, so love these folks. And so they personally own it. Prices are for staying overnight. There is a conference rate, and it can be kind of pricey. But on the lodging page, I have other options that you might want to try that you could do that are cheaper. But the fee is $279.99, but you get a lot for that, including lunch. So it's not a bad deal, even though I'd love to give it away, but you know, that's Jane needs to make a living too, as well as Jason. So yeah, it's free and convenient parking. Look up Yellow Springs, Ohio. That in itself, if you've ever heard of the famous comedian Dave Chappelle, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He somewhat owns Yellow Springs anymore, I swear. But he's making a name for himself. After he kind of stepped away from the limelight on television, he moved back into Yellow Springs. So you can spot him if that's your thing. But the shops, the ambience, they say, because it's the home of Antioch College, and they say in the 60s there was an icon called the flower child of the hippie stage and all that, and they were born out of Antioch. So there you go, they even made a phrase and a term and a symbol. So, and a lot of good biking paths and walking. Glen is gorgeous. So all you can do, if you can even come in a little early and stay a little longer, but you can do that. A lot of options. So that's good.
Yes, I love it. I can't wait to go. And I can just tell I'm gonna kind of get sucked in there to you know, like-minded people, and I'm not gonna want to leave. I can already kind of sense that. So anyway,
August
4th, 5th, and 6th, Mills Park Hotel, Yellow Springs, Ohio.
Cool.
Everything is on the website as well. If you go to intothespringswritersworkshop.com, and I noticed I put a .com instead of a .com accidentally, but anyway, put .com, and it'll take you right to all the information, and it gives you even the day-to-day activities, timeframes, everything that's going on. So Mark is going to go and hang out. He said that he would find something to do while I was at the writer's workshop. So he'll either be out on the bike or hiking or doing whatever over there. So he's going to go, he'll have the car. So he'll once he drops me at the workshop, he'll be, you know, doing whatever. He's going to hang out while we're over there. So that's kind of our thing. And what I wanted to also kind of ask Sandy is if it's a brand new writer, let's say they haven't written anything and they haven't published anything and they're brand new, what do they need to bring with them? I mean, you know, you say that they get to read a little bit of their story or whatever. Do they need to bring their manuscript if they're writing one?
I would think so. Things start at 9, and Yellow Springs is a town in which it works better if it starts at 11 in the morning, but there are some coffee shops that are rather early, but I have the banquet room open by 6:45, and they have the coffee going and the hot tea and all that. And at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 8, there's writers that just kind of come in and connect. They do a writing activity. They'll do, last year we had this where you write the first sentence of something, and then after about 5 minutes, you stop and you pass it on to the next person and they add the next line and it goes around, and then you get back folks, additions to a short story that you could do anything you want with or add it to anything you want. And then the next day it was more like a workshop. The idea of workshop is to shop your work, to share, what do you think of this line? Or I'm stuck doing this, kind of like a plotter's thing. This year we may do something different, but it's just not a lot of folks are really a 7 a.m. kind of person. And that's certainly fine. But hey, I got that hotel and I am using it from corner to corner. And so then we stop at 8 and you can, we don't start until 9. So you can stay in the room or you can, the hotel has its own restaurant and bakery. So you can go there and have something to eat there. And then we have, it's so subjective. You hate that it is, but if you're putting your work in to submit to a magazine, like I put in a short story, I was a semi-finalist before they popped me out and their final stories that they kept did not include mine. But you kind of wonder, what are they looking for? What are they like? Well, there's an afternoon in which they're going to ask you, volunteers, to read the first few sentence or paragraph of your story. And then Jason and Jane are going to tell you what, if they were an agent or a magazine editor or an editor of a book company, and they're going to tell you whether or not they would accept your work. Are you going to get out of the slush pile? Because the slush pile is where they just, oh, we're not sure. We'll let somebody else take a look at it and they'll keep it there. And it's amazing. An agent, an editor, a magazine reader on the editing staff, they could tell probably within two paragraphs whether or not this story or this piece, this article is going to grab somebody's attention. And that's probably the most important part of the book. And so they're going to both. And Jane says she doesn't mind doing it, but she likes to have somebody else do it with her because the point is to see how what she thinks would be good or would be, yeah, let's take another look at this. Or let's ask this writer, can you give us 50 more pages? Because if you're going traditional publishing and you're going to an agent, they will have on their website exactly how they want their submission piece to look and how many pages they want, or do they just want the first chapter or something. But if that agent comes back and says, you know what, we'd like to see 50 pages, well, ring, 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 you have done it. That is, now, they can come back and say, sorry, but you know, they get over 1,000 submissions a month. Mm-hmm. So you get up into that, can I see 50 pages? You are really, really riding high. So they're going to say, well, how does that happen? What are those people thinking? What are they looking for? How do I script mine so that I can get into that status that someone's going to pick up my story? So we're going to have that for an afternoon. And that's where those two will come in. So that's where, yes, I would bring the first couple, first page of my short story, or piece or book or novel, whatever you're working on, because both of them are, Jason, well, both of them are nonfiction background too. Jane Friedman, definitely. She has The Business of Writing out as her book. And Jason has writes a lot of nonfiction articles. His background is PR, that he does PR. So there, I take out of them any kind of expertise they have, because I want to make, because the tricky part for me is, how do I get folks of so many different genres and writing levels together? How do I make them connect? How do I make them feel like, wow, this is exactly what I need? If I have a mystery writer sitting next to a horror writer, sitting next to a child's author, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I make sure my folks, I work them, but I make sure they have all those tools at their, now there'll be some time in which, no, something is not going to click, but boy, that business of marketing and, and yourself is going to click with everybody. Because unfortunately, everybody has to be out on social media, and how does that work for folks who are not comfortable doing that? So yes, bring part of that laptop if you feel like it, but it's not necessary. I pass out a pocket folder and I have spare pages in there if you want to do that. Pencils and pens, yes, I think they're archaic, but I like them. I have extra of that in the room, extra paper in the room. So if you come thinking, oh, I wished I would have, you know, there's, I haven't gone yet. There's a lot of workshops that have an agent there. Having it, and if I'm talking too much.
No, you're good.
Okay.
This is all about getting published, yeah.
Yeah. Having an agent in a workshop is both incredible and distracting. And there is one, a Midwest Writers Workshop in Muncie, Indiana, on the grounds of Ball State University, always mixed both the writers' sessions and agents. And they found that so many people are so overwrought with getting, pitching their stuff to an agent. What did the agent think? Oh my gosh. And they lose sight of any of the workshops. All they're focused on is getting an agent. So I haven't brought in an agent, but I think it would be fascinating to have one. And I think, how can I do that without making the agent the star of the show? And, you know, it's all like the fish swimming upstream. They all make an immediate left and go toward the agent. And it's like, whoa, what about the rest of us? Those are some of the things I'm tweaking now as a director. But I
have a suggestion.
Yeah, please.
Make it a VIP ticket and have the agent come in on Saturday night. As a VIP and have a VIP ticket sales. And so folks that are ready to talk to an agent, they can purchase the VIP and maybe have dinner with the agent.
Oh my gosh, girl. I love you. Thank you. I hadn't thought of that. And I'm thinking, how do I do it? And I've got plenty of room and space to do it. They also have, not only they have a big banquet that could fit 150. I think if you squeeze them in and some sit on laps, I'm looking for at the most 100, because my trick is to, how do I get folks feeling that there's only 30 of us,
right?
When I might have closer to 60, but they have a boardroom that has all those huge tables with the massive brown oaken chairs that seat, I think, 24. So, oh my gosh.
Woo-hoo. So you could have, and that could be your urgency, is that it's limited seating to get in to have dinner with the agent on Saturday night for the VIP price. And that'll prompt people to pull the trigger on that.
Woo-hoo. You're good.
And that way the agent doesn't have to even hang out the whole weekend. You can just have them come for the dinner.
Yep.
And the folks that are ready to talk to an agent are going to immediately buy the VIP ticket to get in front of the agent. So
that's it, because I close things up at 5 on Saturday afternoon, and I don't open again until 7. So you get that, you know, lunch is in the banquet room, but by all means, you got to experience Yellow Springs. That'll give you a chance, great places to eat and so forth like that. Mm-hmm. So that might do it, because you could still run out, get something to eat, and still get back. And any agent will tell you, she, he, they will give you 3 minutes. 3 minutes is all they need to know if they are more interested. Talk about it. And I have done it. I have probably pitched 50, 70, 80 times, and I have probably gotten it right. Probably in the last 10, I finally caught on. So it's still nerve-wracking, and elevator pitches and all that sort.
But you know what? It's a necessary process to learn the trade. If you want to be a writer, it's like learning any other industry. You have to learn the trade, and it does take time to do that. So, so anyway, put it on your calendar, check out the website, IntoTheSpringsWritersWorkshop.com. And if it fits your schedule and your budget, definitely jump in and join us at the workshop.
Please. So, thank you again, Kathy.
Good stuff. Well, today, yes, Debbie, go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know that my article has been submitted and it will be published next month.
Debbie is now a published author. Yay.
Oh my gosh.
I love the idea of the writer's retreat. Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good, good, good. I love it. Debbie, you're on your way, girl. So now all of us are going to be published. Debbie and Debbie has wanted to do this. That's all she's talked about for some time is getting published. And she's got her book underway, her memoirs. And so Debbie, let me ask you this. How are you writing chapters? Because remember, we were gonna chat, and you were gonna make sure that you were getting your chapters done, so that at the end of 2023 you would be ready to publish
your own story. Yes, I have actually.
Okay,
I have, and I'm working on the second one, and
the second chapter.
Second chapter, and the important thing I realized when you and I were talking about writing my article, the problem and the solution. Okay. So when I wrote that article, after you and I talked, I scrapped the first one and totally rewrote it.
Wow.
And it's called Though I Walk Through the Valley, mm-hmm. .. because it's about grief. And I was just like, I was on a roll. I mean, really. So I am writing chapters. I did one, and it's more the, I don't know whether to call it the introduction, the prelude. That's it. And which is basically the daydream.
Okay.
And I have that all done. And so I'm just moving forward. And now I have a deadline so that I can get more done before that, you know, with this August. Because, man, come around, heck or high water, I'm going to go.
Good.
I love it. I love it. Now, Sandy, are there still rooms available out there?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you.
Now, just so you know, and again, I don't want anyone to not go because of budget constraints. There are some other hotels that are just a short distance away that are less expensive to stay, if as long as you have transportation to get from where you're staying over to the workshop each day, if for some reason staying there is outside the budget. So I don't want anyone not to go because they think, oh, I can afford the workshop, but I really don't have the funds to maybe do the rooms right there at the hotel. So just so you know, there are other options of places to stay.
Oh, what you got, Sherry?
So I just entered OASIS, which is an AI program similar to ChatGPT.
Oh.
So you have to join the waiting list, and then it's going to ask you to join something else before you can join OASIS. Sorry, Kathy, you need your iPhone to do it.
I've got an iPad. I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. So you need iPhone to get on it. Jeff Brown. For those of you who have been to an ISC conference a couple years ago, he was there. He owns the Read to Lead podcast. I am part of his community on Mighty Networks, and he just shared this, and I tried it. I wrote a short blog post or email yesterday. it generated 9 pieces of content for me in moments. It was amazing. So, you know, you just speak into your phone and it just generates all these other things. And it was right on point. And it fixed my grammar. It fixed. So Sandy, so, you know, I have dysgraphia, which is a disability in written expression. Mm-hmm. I also have a little bit of a stutter. Every once in a while, I get caught up in my words and I can't finish the sentence, or I totally lose track, little ADD brain of mine. But this was like amazing because I wrote out this thing and then I just read it into my phone and boom, I had 9 pieces of content.
Wow. That's
wonderful. I love it. There's tons of those out there now, Sherry. And so I will definitely check this one out. But there's tons of those artificial intelligence programs out there. By the way, did you know, ladies, if you're using Canva, that Canva under their document, if you want to create a document, Canva has an IA. You start the topic sentence and hit finish and Canva will finish the article for you.
Yeah, I saw that it was there, but I haven't started playing with it.
What type of writing do you do? What type of writing do you do, Sherry?
Hers is more technical, but she the rest of us are in awe that she writes like this.
Okay, good.
So I've been an occupational therapist for 30 years, and in 2009 I started working school-based. Prior to that, I was all adult rehab. And when I started working in school-based therapy, I was really trying to make the connections to neurology with the adult versus the child. Okay. And I, you know, have all these handwriting curriculums out there. I'm like, nobody needs another handwriting curriculum, but where's the gap? What's out there that people are missing? And so I wrote Handwriting Brain Buddy Disconnect, which is talking all about dysgraphia and the writing disability and interventions that you can use to help support kids. Mm-hmm. Since then, my research has really shifted to what can we do in the whole classroom to help the students. And the reason I asked Kathy early on in this conversation, if she read my email yesterday, is I've been for the last 3 weeks in a full immersion. Like my family has not seen me. Okay. I've been in my room. It's all been virtual for many, many hours a day in Grant Cardone's Unbreakable Business Challenge System and GrowthCon.
Good.
And one of the takeaways that I got from that was some real marketing strategies on how to market business. But one of the things that and the reason I was going in the first place is a mentor of mine teaches you how to write a signature talk. And one of my things is I want to do a TEDx talk very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sure. I want some coaching on how to create that TEDx talk.
Good.
But I've also have this historical fiction piece I've been working on, and I'm trying to figure out how to blend it. Okay. So I'm going to share what aha moment that has come out of this 3 weeks. Kathy, I sent it to you via email. So you can actually read some of what I'm going to be sharing with you.
Okay.
So part of this platform is we need to stop the negative conversation before you start the writing process. Okay. So from the neurology standpoint, and I'll use writer's block since you guys are writers, that when you're looking at that blinking page and you get that nervous response inside and you're going, I can't figure out what I'm writing today because that blinking light's in front of you and you're just like stuck. Really what it is your limbic system is taken over and your fear response is going on. These kids that can't remember how to write the letter are going, like having that panic, like a little bit of a panic attack going on inside. Mm-hmm. And so I've been calling myself a dysgraphia consultant, but that's a what? It's not the why behind what I'm doing.
Okay.
And I had this revelation this month, and Kathy, that's what I emailed you yesterday.
Okay.
I believe that I am a belonging collaborator. Every kid wants to belong in the classroom. Every adult wants to belong in their environment. So I am cultivating co-teaching environments across all disciplines to support people with dysgraphia and dyscalculia.
Okay, good.
Wow, what clarity you have. That I have watched this girl from the beginning. It's been an amazing journey, Sherry, an amazing journey. I've watched her from starting her first website to publishing her book to being on stage. I've watched her every step of the way, and it is so exciting to see where she is evolving.
I'm going to reserve some of the other things that I learned for building a better business, but I needed to get that out to you I wanted to get your feedback.
Well, I can't wait to now go
belonging collaborator.
We'll take a look at that. But Sherry, great news. I love it. Yeah. Sandy, did you have something to say?
I didn't want to pull you away from editing. So I would.
I want to talk about editing just briefly, because for brand new writers that might tap in and listen to this, you know, they say editing, you know, they kind of know what that means, but there are so many levels to editing. And that's what most folks really don't understand until they get into the writing process. Of course, your very first level, and I don't know if you gals want to take notes or not, but your very first level is proofreading editing. And of course, you know, you have to proofread something before it's published. And of course, that's easy to understand what proofreading means. But also, when you think about it, there is a definition of copy editing. And you're like, well, what is the difference between a proofreader and a copy editor? Now, a proofreader is looking for like typos and misplaced punctuation. And a copy editor is looking for layout issues and consistency in all of your copy. It's more than just looking for a typo or a comma that's missing. And so there's a difference there. And then of course there's a developmental editor, and they're known as the manuscript appraisal. And it occurs early in the writing process. And it's a type of content editing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so they're looking at how the story is developing. And it doesn't matter whether it's a fictional story or whether it's real life or whether it's even a technical publication. They're looking at how it's going to develop through the process from the beginning. And Debbie, this is when we were talking about making sure that, you know, if you're solving a problem, that you actually get around to solving the problem in your content. And I've read some blog posts where they have posed a problem and they never get around to the solution. They kind of hint at the solution, but they never quite develop the end of the story or the end of their content in actually developing the solution. And then, of course, there's fact checking editing. And that's usually for like nonfiction publishing. Although some fiction books require fact checkers as well, especially if you're like a historical writer, you know, and you're weaving in your story with some history, there is definitely some fact checking that has to go on. And so all of this is important in your manuscript. Every type of editing is so important. And of course, the big one is the content editing. It analyzes the structure of your book while reading the manuscript edits. And it's the big one, the whole content editor. They're taking the 30,000 foot view, and they're looking at the entire manuscript on how it's how it begins, how you massage that issue, problem, storyline, whatever in the middle, and then how it concludes. So they're looking at the whole thing. And then there's the acquisitions editor. Their job doesn't do a lot. They're called the acquisitions editor, but their job is to acquire promising new manuscripts for the publishing house. And so they're looking at what you're writing from a financial point of view, and how, you know, is this the author that we want on board, you know, because again, they do behind the scenes meetings and they're like, okay, here's what we need, you know, in our publishing house. And now they've got an acquisitions person out there looking at writers like you saying, do we want someone like this on our team? And so all of it is important. And so again, I just listed the major types. And so any questions or comments, and do you want to talk about any of those types of editing? Again, you know, you've got line editing, mechanical editing, copy editing, structural editing. There's so much that goes into it. And do not skimp on your editing. If you spend money anywhere, spend it on a good editor. That's what's going to make or break your publication. Mm-hmm. And Sherry, did you just say that you wrote 3 more books this year?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Where have I been?
No. 2022, I wrote 3.
Okay. Wow.
And I have one that's been in my head since maybe 2020 is just kind of like in my head. And part of the reason it hasn't been there is because I have not been able to pair that historical fiction with this fact thing that I've got going on with dyscraphia.
Okay.
But this thing I just shared with you is going to lead me in that direction. It's really the why behind what that one is. And that's the one that makes me want to come to this writing workshop. Because that's where my passion really is. It's belonging and not being alone.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you, when you're done with your story, with your book, does someone take a look at it?
Okay. So this one was edited by 2 people.
Okay.
One of them was a teacher who is also an editor.
Good.
Another one was an English major who did like developmental.
Good.
Excellent. Okay. This one is just kind of like dry facts. It's like a textbook.
Yeah.
The second book that
but she's developed a whole company off of that book with courses and classes and challenges. So she's developed an entire, income producing company from that book using it as a textbook.
But as we're talking, editing, she's talking, you know, the people who have read her book prior to it really going out there to the public. Those are the editors like you were talking about. Very good.
Yeah. So book number 2 was a chapter that's going to be in a textbook. Mm-hmm. And that is currently in editing with a major publisher of textbooks in the UK. The book was from China. So how I got caught in the middle is a long story, but I've got a contract with a university in China who has contracted this publishing agency in the UK. Yeah. I happen to be a chapter in that book.
Good.
So that one is getting a major edit.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy published with Wendy mm-hmm. and Patricia last year. I don't even know the name of the agency.
Wooster Publishing.
I am going with them right now, Kathy, just so you have an update. That is my chapter, my rewrite. She approved it. It's off to editing.
Okay.
So I have no idea who she gets to them, but she used to work for something in Schuster. Another
Simon and Schuster.
Well, Simon and Schuster, but they
Simon and Schuster. Yeah.
Penguin.
And then book number 3 is, we are still kind of working through some of it. We're almost done with it. It's going to be going to, I'm co-writing with somebody. We have a ghostwriter, and then we have a contract with an editor, and I'm not quite sure where all that's going to be going and all that stuff. But so that one is a nonfiction story with a lot of stuff for schools in that one. So that one's kind of this bridge between the fiction world and a nonfiction world too. Yeah. But I really want to write this historical fiction book.
Okay. Do you have on your first book, of course, is on Amazon. Do you have an author's page there on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay. So once these other books actually cross the finish line, they'll be listed. You'll be listed as the author for that.
And this was translated into Turkish. So I already have two there.
Okay.
Well, you know, when you're having, when you get to the editing process, that's when, if you've always written in isolation, this is when you start getting it out there a little bit. And if you are fine with your copy, your proofreading, you know, that's the grammar and the sentence structure. That's one thing. This is where you hear people talk about, well, in my writing group, and this is kind of editing, more of the, maybe the developmental or the content that Kathy's talking about, because they're looking at it from, well, if I'm supposed to be scared here, do I feel scared? Or, wait a minute, you had this character who just got hit by a truck. He's on, and he kind of jumps out of his hospital bed. I had that yesterday in my writer's group. I go, he should be wincing a little, you know, all those kind of content things. Or you have him having, or her or them having this in this chapter, but two chapters later, that's not consistent, or they have red hair. Mm-hmm. That even happens too. So that's where a writing group comes in, and that could be a whole discussion in itself. There are good and bad and all kinds of stuff. And then you have the beta readers,
right?
You hear folks talk about beta. Oh, I have my beta readers. And I've been a beta reader for folks. And that's where they take your whole manuscript and you tell them what you want. If you're, right. If you're not comfortable with proofreading, then say, hey, you see a typo or you see where my subject verb doesn't agree, then let me know or correct it or something. But a lot of times a beta reader is somebody who's interested in your area. Like if you're doing paranormal romance, that person loves paranormal romance. So that's like getting one of your fan groups already to take a look. Even if it's, careful if it's your mother or sister or spouse or something, they just love you to death and they'll just say, this is great. But or they're super critical because they remember growing up with you. I don't know, whatever that goes. So there's all kinds of positives and negatives there. And that's where a writer's workshop may also come into play, because I know I keep track of who's in the group, who knows, there are people who have been together for a long time. And if you ask, you know, I'd like to have a writer's group if you meet on Zoom, or I'd like to be, maybe where do I go for beta readers? And that could be your next step as good. And that's a whole world in itself and how you feel about those people, but that's part of the editing process. But yes, definitely a professional, someone who does it for a living of at some point would be great for your piece.
We talk about the six C's of editing, and I'm going to give you what those are. The first one is correctness. When you're actually writing your manuscript, you have to look at correctness. You have to look at clarity. The second one is clarity. And the third one, and this is a hard one for me, conciseness. I sometimes get a little too wordy, and a lot of that is totally unnecessary. You know, it really does not add to the thought.
Yeah. Well, you don't know. You know, it's easy. Well, maybe not. It might break your heart, but it's easier to cut back than it is to try and produce something that just isn't there. You don't know where to go with it. So, but yeah, conciseness, that's good.
Yeah. And consistency. You have to have consistency, and then commenting. Commenting is one of the six C's of editing. You know, you want your editor to make lots of comments back to you so that you can clarify and get concise and have consistency. And then finally, customization.
Ooh.
So correctness, clarity, conciseness, consistency, commenting, and customization.
What do you mean by customization?
Yeah, I was just going to say, how do they define customization?
Customization, I would think, is to make sure that you're staying in your lane, that you're not getting, you're not bringing in other subjects that, and again, it kind of goes with being concise and having clarity.
Yeah.
But to customize your manuscript, to make it your own so that you stay in your lane and you're getting to the point.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that might be something, and I may be misinterpreting, but that might be when you pick up a Jane Austen novel, you know it's Jane Austen. Or yes. If you read Harlan Coben, you could tell his style of his name wasn't even on the book. So there might be something to your style, depending on if you stick with one genre or how many books in a series you're doing or something of that sort.
And I think it's important if you want to make a living as being a writer that you do customize your writing to have whatever that flair is in across the board in everything that you write, so that readers do, when they pick it up, they go, oh, this sounds like Kathy Benner. You know, you want to be customized to the point where they recognize you. I remember in a little down the path, the rabbit chase the squirrel here for a minute. When I was a nail tech in the nail salon, and my daughter would go out shopping, and she would be, I don't know, she might be at Walmart or she might be at Meijer or whatever. And a lady would walk up to her and say, oh, hi, Jen. Tell your mom I said hi. And so Jen would come home and she would say, hey, one of your nail customers said hi. And I said, how do you know it was one of my nail customers? And Jennifer says, because I looked at her nails, she was wearing your nails. Jennifer knew what my acrylic nails look like when I put acrylic nails on some. So see, I had customized my style. And so my daughter, I'd say, how do you know it's not somebody from church or somebody from, and she says, oh no, it's one of your nail customers. She was wearing your nails. She says, I looked at her nails when she said to tell your mom hi, and I knew she was a nail customer. And so again, you know, your reputation kind of precedes you. So
sometimes without even, don't force it. It, you know, it's there, let it glow, you know?
Yes. And you'll find that, you'll find your niche. It's like everything else. You'll get into, if you do a lot of writing, you will get into a customization of sorts that folks will recognize you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I love that. So those are the six C's. Now let's talk about just getting the manuscript out on paper so that we can start, you know, even our own, because we're going to edit it ourselves through the first several drafts.
Yeah.
And so getting it out on paper, I write two different ways. Number one, and Sherry is the one that brought up the whole artificial intelligence. When I'm doing blog posts, depending on how short my time is, I might start with an artificial intelligence just to get a template. I might put in a topic and get a little bit of an outline, and then I'll go in and make it my own. I'll add my own story, because for those of you that are in my Build a Better Business, have heard me say over and over and over, your storytelling is your marketing on whatever your conclusion is on your article, whether you're writing a book or an article, a blog post, a magazine article, whatever. And so I want to weave my own story in there. And if you're writing fiction, you know, you have to have that storyline. But a lot of times the artificial intelligence is a great way to get past that blank page to get started. But I don't like to depend on it. I don't like to just say, I'm going to write everything from artificial intelligence. You know what I mean? I don't want to get totally dependent on it. It's just kind of an idea maker for me. Now, I do use PLR, which is a platform where there's already made articles. And it's just like when you can download free pictures and use them, you can download free articles and they're there for you to use however you wish. But again, I use those as my platform. I don't just copy and paste one of those PLR articles and use it. I weave my own story in there and change it up, change different words to make it uniform. And then again, I talk about how you go over to like Google Trends. And sometimes if you're going to write something factual, for example, I want to write, and you've heard me tell this several times, I want to write something about passive income. And I put in passive income to see how it's trending. It's okay. It's trending. People are searching for the term passive income. But I discovered that thousands more were searching for working from home as a phrase over passive income. And okay. So I went back to my passive income articles and I made sure that I would weave in my writing a sentence or two about working from home and how that might look. And so that way my article will come up when folks are searching, because there was a thousands more searching for working from home than were searching, I want passive income. And so I knew that I needed to include that phrase, working from home, more often in my writing. And so there's all kinds of tools out there. And I guess what I'm saying is use the tools to your advantage, but don't just use the tools. You still need to be your own person. You need to be your own writer. You need to create your own customization in your writing. Don't take somebody else's writing and just put it out there. So, but it's a great template. It's a great way to get past the blank page, especially if you're on a deadline and like Debbie is now writing magazine articles. I write magazine articles. And oftentimes you have a deadline and time is an issue. And, you know, I get the email and it says, oh, by the way, your article's due tomorrow at 2:00. And I'm like, what? I missed that. So now, you know, you're thinking, okay, I've got this tonight and that tomorrow. When am I going to write this article? And so the artificial intelligence is a tool that you can use, but don't get dependent upon it. Mm-hmm. I guess that's my point.
Yeah.
Don't get totally dependent upon it. And so then as you're going through the editing process yourself and you're getting it out there, you have to ask yourself, how am I going to get my writing out on paper? Well, if you're using artificial intelligence, my best guess is if you're using that as your template, you're going to be doing that on your computer. So you're going to already have something written in a document of some sort. And so from there, it's easy to complete your writing right there on the computer, right there in that word processor, whatever, whether you're using Google Docs or MS Word or whatever it is that you're using, you already kind of have it typed. And so now you're just expanding and you're putting in, you know, your own take on the story as per se. And so you're doing it right there on the computer. But let's say that you're going to just start from scratch. And like Sherry says, she's had this story running around in her head. She doesn't need a template. That story is in there and she's probably been perfecting that story in her head for a while. And she needs to now just get it onto paper. And so I would recommend that she take out her smartphone and open up a Google Doc or an MS Word, depending if she's got both of those or either of those on her smartphone, and hit the little keyboard and where the microphone is, tap the microphone and just tell the story. Flaws and all, get it out there.
Well, I do. I must say I have to like write down stuff and then I go into Microsoft and I hit play and I expand on it and readjust it and edit it. As I'm doing, but I have to handwrite first. And if I can read my handwriting, it really does help with me having the writing challenges.
Okay. I get it. For me, I need to get away from everything. And so I will take a walk in the woods. That's my favorite. Get out away from the noise of the traffic and the voices and, you know, and the telephone ringing and all of that. And I just talk into a document and I can tell an entire story and it just goes on and on and on. And then I have it there in print, totally unedited, no punctuation, no paragraphs, no anything, but it gets it down on paper. And then I can sit down at my computer and I can start, even if I work at a paragraph at a time, I can start then doing my first rough draft editing of putting that. And I kind of like to do, I do mine in layers. So I'll go through and I'll put it all in paragraphs first. Like, okay, this is the next thought. So I need to put that in the next paragraph. So I'll do that first, all the way through everything I've written. Then I'll go back and start doing the punctuation and the capitalization. So I'm doing some of that stuff so that it reads easier. And then I like to do what I call letting it get cold. Mm-hmm. I like to walk away from it because sometimes I get in there and I'll start editing and I'll start taking out a sentence that later I wished I wouldn't have because I'll think, oh, now I need to put that thought back in. So I like to, once I get it to where I can kind of read it rather quickly, you know, because the punctuation is now kind of there, not perfect, but it's there. The paragraphs are there. Then I like to just save it and walk away from it and come back another day or two later. And now all of a sudden, you know whether the story flows or not. See, now you know with content how it, because now you might say that one thought, this whole paragraph needs to be moved down here, or this whole paragraph really doesn't, you know, that's where the conciseness comes in. Like this really doesn't add to the story. I just kind of got off on a rabbit trail as I was talking in my phone that day. And so maybe I need to just take that paragraph out altogether, but I don't delete it. I save it in another document because it might be another whole chapter or another whole story. That's because good. Obviously it was something that was on my mind that I got out on paper. So it could be something that I could use later. And so I'll try to title those documents in terms that I can find them later when I'm looking for a thought or I'm looking for a particular story. Like, what about the story when my mom and I did this? If I can name it something that I can recognize, see, then I can locate it later in my search. And so I never erase any of those paragraphs. I simply move them to another document and tag it so that I can use it later. Is that helpful to anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so once I go through it and I make sure it now forms a story, a storyline, and it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, then I try to walk away from it again, now that I got it in story form. And so then when I come back a third time, now I'm ready to start embellishing the mm-hmm. the feelings, the senses. What yeah. did I feel? What did I hear? What did I see? What did I touch? You know, and I try to, because, you know, usually when I'm talking, I'm just reminiscing, like, oh, I remember when, and I'm just telling a story. And I might put some of those emotions in there, but I may not put a lot of those emotions or those senses into my writing. But now I can go back, like Sandy was saying, where you know, the guy that was hit by a truck jumped out of bed, you know, he just jumped out of bed, really. And so now I can go back and say, what was I feeling when that happened, or what should I be feeling if that happened to me? Yeah. You know, how can I paint that picture in words? How can I paint that picture so that my audience feels what I want them to feel in that scene? It's like writing a movie. What would I tell that actor mm-hmm. that I would want them to do or say to make the audience feel what I want them to feel? And so that's what you're doing at that stage, is you're adding that kind of content into your storyline. So Sandy, jump in there and take me on a different direction.
I don't know. That's the key, is there are folks who read their favorite books and they're believing that their first draft has to look like that completed version. Mm-hmm. Believe me, that does not work. There's somebody does it.
Very few.
But very few people get that from. And I like the fact you're talking the layers. Like, get that story down. I haven't turned to the talking point, but that is brilliant. I'm a tactile person and I am a cursive writing demon. I can write furiously with a pen in my hand or my favorite pencil and on notebook paper. And in those little cheapy spiraling notebooks. And yep, I'm writing, because if I'm typing, it's like you, if I'm typing, I am already editing and that slows me way down. And I have found sometimes if I'm going back, like I'll get two chapters that I really like and then I'm editing it. And then I realized, that's because you're procrastinating, because you don't want to start the new third paragraph because you're not sure. So you're going back and tinkering, and be careful of that. But when I'm handwriting, I don't do that. And that is where the brilliance of talking into a recording device happens, because you know eventually, because you're used to it, what to cut out or to set aside, and how that automatically turns into, quite honestly, probably what my notebook would look like. So, that's good.
So one of the when you talk about this kind of writing, they call it writing the onion process. And you think about having an onion and it has all those layers.
Yeah.
And so the core of your story is the very center of the onion. And then as you're writing your story, see, you're just adding layers all the way around. Mm-hmm. See? And so the first thing that I do is I break it into paragraphs, and then I, you know, add some description, and then I make sure that it's flowing correctly. And I just keep adding to where once I'm done, that story will be complete. But it does take some time, and for me, not for everyone, but for me, I like to let it get cold in between, because I get so down in the trenches with the story that I might get stuck somewhere. And I keep thinking, should I take that out? Should I leave it in? Should I take it out? Should I leave it in? Should I take it out? Should I leave it in? And if I go walk away from it for a couple of days, and then I come back and just read the story, it's clear. Oh, I need to leave that in, or, oh, I need to take that out. Then it becomes incredibly clear. And it's much easier at that point to decide if it adds to the drama of the story. And if it doesn't, then you probably need to take it out. If somebody reads that and goes, what's that got to do with it? Yeah. And so that'll jump off the page at you if you let it get cold in between. So anyhow, that is how I like to write. And that is how I usually go through editing my first draft. And again, I still don't get down in the weeds too much with punctuation and all of the sentence structures. I'm more concerned with the storyline. To make sure that I have that beginning, middle, and ending of my storyline. And so at some point, sometimes I've been married to it for so long that if you have something that's not correct, you don't see it, especially if it's the way you talk and you've always talked incorrectly. You know, we're all a product of our environment. Yeah.
And we have idioms yes. that are little phrases that my part of town talks and maybe the other part of town doesn't. So
yes. And so at some point then that whole manuscript needs to go to a professional editor that is not a part of your story, because they'll look at it with a fresh eye and with their expertise. And they can clean it up so much easier than you can. And I have a lot of folks that when I talk to them about writing a book, they say, well, I can't afford an editor, so I'm just going to have my sister-in-law edit for me. And, you know, I get that. And so that's why a lot of self-published authors get a bad rap, is because oftentimes it's because they don't have the money, or they're not spending the money, or for whatever reason, the books come out a little bit subpar. And so a lot of times those self-publishing authors get a bad rap for that reason. And they've got great talent. And some of them are as talented, if not more talented, than some professional writers. They just haven't spent the money to get the book in shape. So what I'm saying is if you're gonna skimp, don't skimp on your editing.
Yeah,
that's probably one of the most important pieces of getting your book published, is getting it edited correctly. So anyway, we've gone over a little bit. We've had great conversation. Is there any big ahas that anybody got from the conversation today? And my big aha is that Sherry is a rock star. she's really impressive. Yes, yes, yes.
My takeaway is the six C's.
Yeah.
Correctness, clarity, conciseness, consistency, community, and customization. I think those were the things that you said. I'm trying to read my own handwriting, and that's always fun. Yeah.
Number five is commenting.
Commenting. That's a key part of this.
Commenting. Okay.
I'm with you. I like that.
And then customization is the last one. Yes. Yes.
Now, and again, it does five different kinds of editors, and I have forgotten what they were. So thank you for the reminder.
Yep.
Very good. Debbie, how about you? Any big takeaway?
How about the whole hour? I'll make it easy. It's the whole hour. It's like I couldn't stop writing notes.
Okay.
Well, Debbie, the more you immerse yourself in writing groups and writing workshops and surround yourself with authors, the more you will start to act and think and write and publish, and the more you'll just move right into being an author.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
I like that. You know, with the commenting, if you are at a point where you just, even if it's not a finished product yet, if you just want somebody to take a look at it, give them some guidance. Just say, I just want your comments. Is there a place, and this is number one usually, is there a place where you get bored? Is there a place where you're starting to speed read? usually that's the part that you really don't want to ever have. You never want a reader to stop and say, oh, look, cows. And then they go off and do something else. They want them to be engaged in your story. So if for nothing else, even if you say you have your two chapters done and you want somebody, it's like, no, I don't know where to go. Have somebody read it and say, is there any part of this in which you think is, you hate the word boring, but kind of like that you start to speed read or skip or gloss over. And I am
so guilty. I love to read and sometimes I'll start reading a book and I'll get all involved in the plot. And then they go off on several pages where they're describing how pretty the forest is or whatever. And I catch myself like flipping a page or two ahead going, are we back to the plot yet? Or are they still telling me how pretty the flowers are?
Yeah.
Because so, I'm all about the mystery. I want to, you know.
Yeah. You want to get to the whodunit. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. And there was one gal, a professional published author. And she says, you know what took care of the problem? She split the paragraph in two, just moving it. Because honestly, sometimes white space is as important as the print space. And it gives the eye a chance to focus and move on. But if you're at a just a level that you just need a little input, ask for that and saying, you know, or say my character is supposed to feel nervous. She's here. Or when I was a child, I was really scared here. Is it coming across that way? So that's a lot. It sometimes the typos can be fixed sometimes with Grammarly or something, or with your neighbor who used to be an English teacher or something. But it's the content that you might just ask somebody, is this okay? Were you skipping? Because sometimes readers who are doing it for the first time and they don't want to hurt your feelings. They don't know what really to do. So you have to give them a little bit of guidance. So commenting is very critical to me on that list of C's.
I love it. I love it. Sandy, how about you? Any aha moments for you?
Well, I like that somebody came up with 3-6 C's. I really like that a lot. And the fact that Pete Vargas, I'm going to look up in Oasis and just see. And I'm thinking, you know, I really like the idea. I'm going to look at this chatbot sort of stuff. I can't make a decision on it if I've not played around. And there are places that'll let me play around with it. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Use the tools. We have more tools today than we've ever had. So use the tools that are available. Yeah. Yes.
For sure. And I'm with you folks. I'm taking notes. So.
Thanks. All right, ladies. I love it. This has been a great conversation. I love this mastermind. I think it's going to push us all forward to our next best step. And I can't wait to see where we are next month. So Debbie, keep writing. Send me your chapters if you want me to take a look at them. Yeah. Sherry, kudos to you. Sandy, can't wait for the writer's workshop.
Thank you.
We will see everyone next month.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, Sandy.
Yeah, same here. All the best. Stay well. All right,
Sandy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.